The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. Wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm your host, Will Brinson. I don't know what day it is anymore. Joining me, Ryan Wilson and John Breach. What's up, boys? We're live on set in Los Angeles. You'd love to see it. Boats everywhere.
Tomorrow and probably for the rest of the week, I'll be wearing a grandma beach hat because my head is going to be burnt to a crisp. And just for safety's sake, Breach, that's what I'm going to be doing.
And you're also going to have, instead of eye black, you're going to have the sunscreen underneath your eyes. You're going to look like Bernie from Weekend at Bernie's.
By the way, it's actually Tuesday, February 8th.
There. Unless you're in Australia, then it's
February 9th. Into the season, Brinson nailed it.
If you're watching on YouTube, you're getting this gorgeous view, the vistas of Los Angeles behind us, cliffs. With lots of, I don't even know what's behind us because I haven't really looked.
That's called the Pacific Ocean, I believe.
Oh, the Pacific Ocean.
It is named after Ryan Pacific.
Oh, that is discovered the Pacific Ocean. Yeah, that's right.
14 years ago.
Just like Pacifico beer discovered.
Right.
That's right. If you're watching on YouTube, smash that like button, hit the subscribe button, turn on alerts, and you will get notified when we go live. If you're listening on Spotify, you're not seeing the beautiful ocean, but you can still give us a beautiful 5-star rating. They have added that to the system now. We will be in the feed, by the way. The Ultimate Gambling Guide podcast with me and RJ White is available. That was on Monday's show. We also did a quick breakdown of Mike McDaniel and Lovie Smith being hired. It happened while we were traveling out here to Los Angeles. And if you're a loyal podcast listener and you want to support us even more, from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern on CBS Sports HQ, which you can access via your smart TV, Roku, Fire Stick, or on your app. You can just watch it on your phone or your iPad, whatever. We will be live with an hour-long Pick Six podcast show. Please check it out. It's a good time, a lot of fun, Super Bowl chat. Obviously, we have a Brady Quinn football show coming up as well. But now we're going to rank some Super Bowl storylines. Here's the goal. I will give you a storyline. You will give me a 1 to 10 grade based on your interest level and how much this storyline matters.
All right, I'm not even going to look ahead. I want to be surprised.
Each of you.
I haven't seen the rundown. You know, usually Brinson's one
that does. Nobody's seen the rundown.
He's the one that doesn't look at the rundown. This
is like a baby reveal.
We didn't. This is. Yes,
and
pink or blue?
Each super friend will be given one pass option.
Okay. Oh,
so you can pass.
Debo got a lot of time on his hands going to these games.
Debo. Oh, my God. This is such a mean one. Jim Breach is the worst Bengals player in the Super Bowl ever.
That must be Brinson made that one.
Yeah, I just made that
one. That sounds made up.
Yeah. The Bengals have an opportunity to win their first Super Bowl ever on a scale of 1 to 10.
True. Well, I guess, I mean, Breach, you answer that because that pertains more to you.
I mean, that's a 10. Look, you know what? We don't see first-time Super Bowl winners that often because so many teams won. The last time was the Eagles in 2017. The last time a team from the AFC won a Super Bowl for the first time, you know when?
The Patriots.
Oh, wow.
Good job, Wilson.
And Wilson, bonus point.
Yeah,
got the trivia. We need to get the scoreboard. And look, it is exciting to have a team in the Super Bowl that has not been there for 33 years. It's fun to watch them play. And so this is definitely, you know, I'm going to sound a little biased, But this is my favorite storyline of the week. We are talking about the Bengals and the Super Bowl. It's been forever since they've been here. The way they got here, you know, Joe Burrow getting sacked every game. They're still winning. The comeback against the Chiefs. This is just something that I am willing. We could just have a separate podcast about how exciting this is that Cincinnati is moving out west to face the Rams in the Super Bowl.
Are you going to paint your face for the Super Bowl?
You know, I've never painted my face. If my family brings face paint and asks me to paint my face,
love it.
I'm not against
it. So the last Bengals Super Bowl was 88?
1988, January 1989, Super Bowl 23.
Then I'm going to say that this is an 8.8 storyline because the Bengals haven't been here since 1988 and they are desperate for a title. Having said that, but that's the reason why it's not a 10, because Joe Burrow's on the roster. If this is the only Super Bowl that Joe Burrow goes to, or the only chance he has to win a Super Bowl, you got way more disappointment to worry about than not the Bengals not having ever won a Super Bowl, because you will have wasted Joe Burrow's career by not bringing one of these gigantic Lombardi trophies home.
Well, to that point real quick, there's definitely a fear that this could turn into one of three
situations.
Like a
Dan Marino type situation.
The Dan Marino situation, you get to the Super Bowl in your second season, everybody's, oh, that guy's going to be in the Super Bowl every year, and then you never make it back. An Aaron Rodgers situation where you get there early, you win it, and then you never get back.
Right.
But then, obviously, the ideal situation would be a Tom Brady situation where they win seven Super Bowls.
That's the thing.
And that's all we talk about for the next
day. Tom Brady didn't exist.
Yeah, maybe Zach Taylor's Bill Belichick.
If Tom Brady didn't exist, then going to one Super Bowl wouldn't be deemed a disappointment. But that's – so that we should blame Tom Brady.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's true. Like, if you – I mean, Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees are just, you know, normal guys who won a single Super Bowl if Tom Brady doesn't pile these up.
Imagine this. Let's just say Tom Brady, for the sake of argument, didn't exist, and some guy named Ben Roethlisberger went to three Super Bowls and won two, and him not being a first ballot Hall of Famer. What a
All right, our next you didn't give us an answer, by the way, Wilson, but we'll let you slide.
Pick six bingo just hit. Wilson bringing up Ben Roethlisberger. Going to the Hall of Fame.
On a Bengals Super Bowl. All right.
What's next?
1 to 10 scale, Wilson. This is the second straight Super Bowl with a team playing in its home stadium. It never happened in the first 54 years of the Super Bowl.
I'll give it a solid 7. And I think it's interesting that 2 weeks ago, the Rams played a home game in the divisional or the championship game.
And obviously the first ever team to host the NFC championship game and the Super Bowl.
Because the Bucs played in Green Bay, I believe.
The Bucs were on the road for every single playoff game.
Right, yeah. Wild card. Yeah. And then they came home and won that game against the Chiefs that no one thought they were going to win because they bet against Tom Brady. But I'll give it a good solid 7. I think the issue for me, though, Breach, is that, and we talked about this on the HQ show, is that L.A. isn't all about sports teams. This isn't Green Bay or Cincinnati or Pittsburgh or Cleveland. This is an area that's 500 square miles, it feels like, and everything under the sun entertainment-wise you could do. So, and we heard that Sean McVay say this in the championship game, don't sell your tickets to 49ers fans. That's not something that Browns fans or Steelers fans or Packers fans are having to worry about on home games. And so in that sense, I'll give it a 7. If it were Cleveland playing the Super Bowl in Cleveland, that's a million.
Definitely a million. Huh. I'll give it an 8. I'm going to go up a half point there, Wilson. I like
Price
it.
Is right again.
Number one, it brings up, you can bring up my favorite movie trivia of all time since we're in L.A. and near Hollywood. The first team to play a home Super Bowl was the Miami Dolphins and Ace Ventura, Wilson.
My bad.
As everyone knows.
Got any more of that gum, Dan?
That was played in Miami. Dolphins, Eagles, as we all know, even though nobody knows who won the Super Bowl because they never told us in the movie. You assume the Dolphins won. I don't know. But you look at the Rams, and the fascinating thing is you look at Rams owner Stan Kroenke. He threw the entire city of St. Louis under the bus, said, I'm going out to L.A. I'm going to build a stadium. So this was his whole entire dream, was to get a stadium here. They mortgaged everything to get the Super Bowl here, build that stadium, or mortgaged everything this season to make the trades and to bring people in so that they could get to this Super Bowl, and it worked. It is like telling your wife that you're going to mortgage the house and you're going to take all the money and buy a lotto scratch-off ticket, and she's going to be looking at you like, that's the dumbest thing you've ever said. But if the ticket hits, then you're saying, all right, well, that was a great plan you had there, honey. Let's do that again. So the fact that that gamble paid off, the Rams are, you know, playing in their home stadium. You know, McVay, you know, I'm sure he's glad that second Super Bowl in 4 years. Nobody remembers that last one as long as you win this one in your home city.
Yeah, so you went 8. I'm going to go 8.1 to really Price is Right. And as we point out, the Bengals, the Super Bowl before the 88 Super Bowl was played and win. January 1981, is that right?
Yep.
Where's my dunk button?
8.1.
I think it's important I get the Cleveland thing. I think it's maybe more important for the NFL than anything else that it's in Los Angeles and that it's a home game here, because the league was so adamant for decades about getting a team back in Los Angeles. And there was concern that once you got a team, they got two back here now with the Chargers as well. There was concern that the city wouldn't really embrace the team, but you get back here and go to the Super Bowl. In Los Angeles, the vibe is just going to be different. It's clearly a team that's going to have long-term success. McVay is, he's what, 35, 30? Is
Turned 36 in late January.
Yeah, he just turned 36. Matthew Stafford's got a few good years left in him.
He just turned 34 yesterday.
That's right.
Matthew Stafford.
Oh, Stafford.
Yeah, that's right.
February 7th, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this is a team that's got a very bright future, and the league gets to showcase its crown jewel in this, SoFi Stadium. They moved the NFL Network over there. I think it's a big deal for the NFL. this is a good one. All right. 1 to 10 scale, Wilson. Super Bowl storylines. How does it rate? Sean McVay versus his protege, Zach Taylor, who was an assistant wide receivers coach in 2017 and the QB coach in 2018.
I'm going to give that a big fat 3.
What?
Here's why. This isn't Belichick versus Parcells, or Mangini versus Belichick, or Patricia versus Belichick, something that has some teeth to it. These are two really nice guys. There's not one. I don't think there's anyone more soft-spoken than Zach Taylor. The only time you get angry with him is because he runs the ball too much on first down, but not because he's done or said something that seems, like a Rex Ryan type stuff where he's getting the other fan base fired up, or you just hate him because he's so good that he keeps beating your team because they've only had success till this year. He's very unassuming. Sean McVay is much the same way. Sean McVay only has good things to say about his former coaches. So it's not, in terms of Hollywood, it's not the script that you would want in terms of Belichick versus Rex Ryan, for example. That's something that you can get behind and hate. But I think, it's almost like a feel-good story.
I'm giving it a 7. I mean, first of all, any storyline involving Sean McVay, I have to give.
Where did you go to college?
Miami of Ohio. Oh. Fun fact, Miami of Ohio. But look, the last time the Rams were in the Super Bowl, that was Zach Taylor's final season on their coaching staff. And as soon as they lost that Super Bowl, boom, he was gone to Cincinnati. And look, this came close to not happening. If Zach Taylor had been the coach of almost any other team in the NFL, he probably gets fired after going 6-25-1.
I heard an interesting comment from Jim Trotter of NFL Media. He was on Chris Long's Greenlight podcast last week talking about the Brian Flores stuff. And he said that he had somebody with Cincinnati tell him that they knew when they hired Zach Taylor, he wasn't ready for the job, but they thought it would take him 2 or 3 years to figure it out, which I guess is kind of normal for most coaches, but they didn't want to run the risk of other teams finding out about Zach Taylor and getting in a bidding war. So they were willing to bring him on and let him suck for a couple of years, and then they happen to land him Joe Burrow. Any thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, they were never – the Bengals don't dump their coaches because they don't want to pay somebody who's not working for them. I mean, that's right. Half the reason he was not going to get fired.
Notoriously the cheapest franchise in professional football.
That is a
they
fair –
they weren't going to fire Zach Taylor and then bring him back like the Texans might have done with David Culley.
That would be a classic Texans move. And I like the chess match of the fact that Zach Taylor is going to know Sean McVay's offense so intimately and also vice versa. And so that plays into what we're going to see in the Super Bowl. And so I like the idea of having a former coach going up against his old boss, especially when it is the two youngest coaches to ever face against each other in Super Bowl history.
I'll give it a 4.5. I think it's
there we go. Thank you.
I don't think it's like
it's not sexy.
Yeah, I mean,
I give your score a 4.5.
Well, I give your score a 0.
There you go. It's
been all dunk button. The problem is you sit up here and like it's a good matchup. I'm just curious how much I think it's a major mismatch for Sean McVay too. Is the problem like?
Here's the thing. Remember in the Super Bowl a few years ago when it was Belichick versus McVay. Yeah. That was a matchup you wanted to talk about. And the whole thing was Sean McVay seemed awestruck after the game because he was after the game we were talking about it when they didn't play well because he had so much respect for Belichick. They're contemporaries, they're the same age. And again, they're pretty vanilla. They're not sort of making waves.
Yeah. And speaking of that, by the way, the next one, when we up here on the set, like doing the podcast, it's easy to sort of get out. We're not like in casual pod, where, you know, you feel like you're doing like a little like segment of TV, and we're kind of in a hurry because of some timing issues. But this one, we're going to skip over it for timing purposes. But this one made me remember that we were doing a podcast. Sean McVay revenge game for crapping his pants in Super Bowl.
Oh, there it is.
So when I realized I was going to have to say crapping his pants, it changed how I felt about the current setup. We are in fact doing a podcast. So of course we have to hit bingo on the podcast. Matthew Stafford, 1 to 10, cementing his case for the Hall of Fame.
1.
Boo.
1. I mean, okay. He would have to throw 40 touchdowns and 10,000 yards in this game, and they would have to win, and then I would put him in the Hall of Fame.
So I think when I make my point, it's not – when I say that if he wins this game, he will get in the Hall of Fame, I'm not saying that winning this game makes him a Hall of Famer. I'm projecting the next
– Wait. If the Rams win on Sunday and Matthew Stafford announces his retirement after the game,
I think he would get in
the Hall of Fame?
I think he would get in, but it would be really difficult.
Would he get in before or after Big Ben?
Before.
That's the thing, and Breach's point. He has 1 year left on his deal, 2022.
I mean, he's staying with the Rams.
They have some salary cap things to work out.
He's staying with the Rams.
We're going to cut everyone, but we're going to keep staff.
If he wins the Super Bowl, he stayed with the Rams.
What if they win the Super Bowl 10-3?
This is his PR agent, so he's...
No, I'm just saying that, like, if you have a quarterback who finishes in the top five, and this is a 10 for me, obviously, but this is a very brand.
What did you say, Breach? What number?
You said a 1,
yeah,
and you said a 10. I'll say a 4.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for at least giving it a modicum
I'll move
of respect.
It up. Yeah, it's okay.
I just think the thing with Stafford is that he's going to play 3 or 4 more years, probably in a McVay system. You have 17-game season, 4,500 to 5,000 passing yards per season. His numbers are going to be so astronomical. And if he wins a Super Bowl and they have continued playoff success in Los Angeles, people are going to point back to the failures in Detroit and acknowledge that it is not a Matthew Stafford issue. It is a Detroit Lions issue.
If the point of the Hall of Fame is to lift up your team around you, then he didn't do that in Detroit consistently enough.
Nobody's done it in Detroit. They ran off Barry Sanders and Calvin Johnson.
Oh, so now you're blaming the Lions?
Yes, I've been blaming the Lions.
Classic.
All right. Number 1 to 10 storyline. Number 1 overall pick, quarterbacks. Number 1 quarterbacks who were taken with the first overall pick against each other in the Super Bowl, 1 to 10. Second time ever. Can you name the other one?
Yes.
Yeah, it is Peyton Manning.
Your jacket.
Super Bowl 50.
And Cam Newton. There you go. Right. The Peyton Manning versus Cam Newton thing didn't really – that actually was more interesting because Peyton Manning's at the end. Cam Newton had just won the MVP. And then Cam Newton had the issue where he didn't jump on the ball there.
But it's also interesting because what was Peyton Manning, 98?
Yeah.
So they were taken 13 years apart, and that's almost what you had here, 2009 and 2020.
Yeah.
Is that 13 or is that 12? I can't
11.
Do math. 11.
You're close.
So the fact that both of those are over a decade apart.
Just so we're clear, he went to Miami, Ohio with Sean McVay.
Sean McVay went. God, we were missing the dunk button out here for
my,
a second.
My God.
I don't think it's that big a deal. It's like, oh, my goodness. I just got some shade.
The big dogs.
Welcome to paradise.
No, they got it for the next show.
Yeah.
It's a hassle.
We know who has the valuable job here.
Yeah.
I think that, like, one of the other things, too, with Peyton and Cam was we thought that maybe that was the sort of passing of the torch of, like, quarterback styles. You know, like Cam, a running quarterback, Peyton, of course, the pocket passer.
Sort of was.
Yeah, it was sort of, but I mean.
Not with Cam leading the way, though.
Yeah. And like, this is just, like, Stafford and Burrow are just two great pocket passer SEC quarterbacks. One just happens to be younger than the other. So I don't view it as a massive storyline in terms of that.
Got a lot in my head.
Yeah, there's a shot. Please somebody take a screenshot of Ryan Wilson's head.
Oh, right, they got it. Oh.
Yeah. Okay.
Just missed it.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Most, how about this? 1 to 10. Most expensive tickets in history. It's now like kind of chilly right
now. No, this is great. Nick, I'm going to call my agent. Thank you. So this can happen sometime before I get off set.
Yeah. Most expensive tickets in Super Bowl history.
I'll let Breach go with this because he's probably going to have to buy tickets as a spectator.
Right. You know, I'm going to give this a 7.5 because I do think it's an interesting storyline in the fact that, you know, people are trying to buy tickets and they are not cheap. This is, I mean, Chad Johnson was tweeting about it. How's the common fan supposed to be able to go to a game where the cheapest ticket is $5,000? And so, you know, you're out here in Los Angeles where the money flows like the wine in Napa and, you know, they can afford
the graham crackers off of Annabelle's.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, exactly.
The salmon and Capistrano.
You have Bengals fans who are trying to figure out, hey, we're in Cincinnati. We're not used to paying $5,000 for anything, let alone a ticket to a football game. And so it is fascinating to see how tickets are selling. And the fact that prices are so high. So that's what you have. You have one team that's a city willing to spend a lot of money. Another team that hasn't been there for 33 years. And that's how you
don't try and prop up the Bengals as this like blue collar, chili and spaghetti eating man of the people type of team.
It is the man of the people. Everyone is rooting for the Bengals.
Blue collar as they come, I feel
the
like.
The Bengals are the people's team this week.
The Bengals are these hot shot Hollywood fanboys.
What's he talking about?
I'm trying to flip it right. Yeah, right. The real blue collar folks. Matthew Stafford, a Detroit man through and through, now out in Los Angeles. It's a tale as old as time. 1 to 10 scale. I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. Rams offense suffering because Kevin O'Connell is taking the Vikings job.
Is Sean McVay still there?
I believe so.
Yeah, that's a zero.
Sean McVay still there.
Right.
Okay. I'm reading the storyline.
Brenton came up with all these. He's trying to dump it on Debo, the producer.
No, I mean, the guy is not. Give me a number.
You are literally Anchorman. You're negative. Reading whatever they put in front of you.
I give this negative.
Get rid of this earpiece.
There. Yeah, no, it's a one because Kevin O'Connell, again, we talk about Mike McDaniel. We don't know what kind of coach he's going to be as a head coach. We don't know what kind of coach Kevin O'Connell is going to be as a head coach. Sean McVay, we know what kind of coach he is. He'll burn through the timeouts in the first 5 minutes and then he'll coach him up. So I'll give it a one.
Yeah, I think
I'll give it a two.
I think, yeah, I'll go 1.5. I'll split the difference. I don't think it's a big deal. And it is the Sean McVay factor. Remember, and did we talk about this or did I mention this on HQ? But we sort of forgotten that Matt Patricia had taken the Lions job right before his defense got absolutely roasted by Nick Foles. But you could also point back to some other instances where offensive coaches had taken the job and their offense did fine. I'm trying to think exactly what
Zach Taylor took the Bengals job and he was the QB coach after a game where Jared Goff did absolutely nothing.
Right. I mean, so I think that's probably more just coincidental than anything else. But I do think depending on who the coach is and the situation that maybe you see some attention taken away. I think Kevin O'Connell, and we haven't, you know, not a ton of media with him, obviously, but I think he's done a very good job of, you know, making sure that people know that, you know, he's like, look, this will take care of itself after it takes care of itself. And I think because the Patriots may be a little bit different. They have a ton of Super Bowls. Rams looking for that, you know, that first one under McVay. Aaron Donald, 1 to 10. Aaron Donald cementing his legacy as a top 5, top 3, best of all time, as Breach claimed on the show, defender with a Super Bowl win. What does that read for you?
I'll give you a 9 on that. Like, he already is a top 5 guy. But if he comes out and just has a sack fest against Joe Burrow, and this is sort of the perfect situation going against this offensive line where he could certainly have a big night. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if he comes out and has zero sacks and doesn't affect the game, he's still a first ballot Hall of Famer, but I think he has a chance to cement himself as...
Now, he could retire today and be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yes, we agree on that. But I mean,
not even have to play in the game.
Yeah.
But if he has like 3 sacks and like 2 forced fumbles, then we're talking about him in the same breath as Lawrence Taylor. I'm not even exaggerating about
it. I mean, who is Lawrence Taylor the only guy he has to leapfrog?
Well, there's... who's the preacher? Gosh, I can't think of his name.
Reggie White.
Yeah. There's Bruce Smith.
Yeah.
There's TJ Watt. I sucked that one in on you.
JJ Watt's up there.
There are.
I think Donald is probably past JJ Watt at this point, but by much. I mean, JJ Watt is an all-timer. Yeah, I mean, I think it's probably, I mean, Aaron Donald's probably a top 5 defender of all time.
Yeah.
And it's
absolutely
maybe top 3.
Well, I mean, if you want to talk about Dion, I mean, the cornerbacks as well. But in terms of the front 7, Michael Singletary, Dick Butkus. So, yeah. But right, for our conversation.
Yeah, we're probably getting a little out of our depth here. But
that's another point.
If he has a monster game and they win the Super Bowl, then it's going to put him in the GOAT conversation for defensive players. Von Miller could become the first defensive player to win Super Bowl MVPs. How does that rate for you, 1 to 10?
That's a huge story. I mean, I'd give that like an 8, 8.5. I mean, if that happens, that's, again, unprecedented. Yeah. It's never happened before. So, yeah, I'd sign me up for that one.
That put you in the Hall of Fame. You win 2 Super Bowl MVPs, you're going in the Hall of Fame. So that I think to see Von Miller possibly make history, I'll give a 6.
I also think, I think I'll go 7.5. Or actually, would you go 8? I'll side with you on 8, I think. And I do think the Aaron Donald and Von Miller stuff is key too, because if the Rams are going to win, they're going to have to sack Joe Burrow.
Right.
So if Von Miller and Aaron Donald have huge games, that means a lot for the Rams' potential to win. Like, I don't think the Rams – I mean, I think the Rams can win without big games from those guys, but I think it's unlikely that they win.
We saw Joe Burrow against the Titans get sacked 9 times. What if Von Miller has 4 sacks and Aaron Donald has 4 sacks and the Rams still lose?
Then Joe Burrow is going to the Hall of Fame.
The Matthew Stafford Hall of Fame cases this is standing on shaky legs, because that means he did nothing on offense. 1 to 10 scale breach. Evan McPherson going for the postseason field goal record. Vinatieri has the most field goals made in a single postseason, 14. McPherson enters Super Bowl 56 with 12.
12 for 12.
Anything involving Evan McPherson is a 10 for me. Number one, this isn't just the most field goals in any postseason ever. He only needs 3. If he hits 4 field goals, he would set the career postseason record for most 4 field goal games in the playoffs. Not a single season. For any kicker's entire career ever, Vinatieri has 3 4 field goal games in his career. That is the current record. That took 21 years. McPherson might do it in 1 year.
What number did you give?
A 10.
Yeah, I'll give it a 10 as well.
I'll give it a 3.
What?
For field goals.
So 10, 20, 23. If you divide, that's like a 7.8. That's
Andrew, good. 1 to 10. Andrew Whitworth revenge game breach.
I give that a 9.5. I actually love this angle because, look, the Bengals' downfall under Marvin Lewis started with the Steelers game. It ended when they let Andrew Whitworth walk after the 2016 season.
We talked about this on the pod. They drafted Fisher and Ogbui.
They felt like Whitworth didn't have enough left in the tank, and that their offensive line has gone downhill since then. They haven't even really recovered from that. Mm-mm. And so the fact that the Bengals get back to the Super Bowl and they're facing Andrew Whitworth is kind of perfect, especially when the whole talking point of this game is the Bengals offensive line, and it's a talking point because they didn't keep Whitworth.
Right.
Yeah, I think I completely agree. OBJ's dad being right all along. 1 to 10, Wilson.
I mean, it's pretty funny.
It is funny.
And you wonder if he just kept saying it till it was actually proved right, because I say it all the time. If Odell Beckham didn't make that one-handed grab against the Cowboys, I believe.
Yeah.
Are we talking about him? I mean, he's electric, but we don't talk.
He led the league in receiving yards as a rookie and only played 12 games. So, yeah.
But that one catch is what
the
we
the one catch
of.
Launched. It was a massive viral moment.
Look, Justin Jefferson was fantastic last year, but we don't talk about him in the same way we talk about Odell Beckham. And fair or not, they're probably very similar players. But it's a funny story, and I'm sure it's some vindication for Odell's dad, but it won't matter much.
Odell's dad got to be sitting front row at the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I mean,
they have to win the Super Bowl for it to be.
I mean, I think it's actually, I'll say it's a 7.9, just making up random numbers here, but not because it's like Odell could win the Super Bowl. It's more because if his dad is right, then all of a sudden the Rams getting Odell Beckham looks like a genius move. And it's clear that he has plenty left in the tank and can still contribute for them down the road. I mean, like, that helps, you know, Robert Woods coming back. Like, the Rams offense is ridiculously loaded.
I'm going to give it a 6. That's Baker Mayfield's number.
Okay. There you go. Even better. 1 to 10 tight end injuries.
Yeah. I mean,
I think it's fascinating that they both have the exact same injury.
And they both have the exact same status.
We don't know if they're going to play. So I think I'll give it a 5 because I think it's fun to watch that. Because if one plays and the other doesn't, you're going to hear the, oh,
it's not Jamar Chase and Odell or Jamari Cooper.
I think it's a bigger deal for the Bengals than the Rams. I think Uzama matters more for the Bengals than the Rams.
And you can use Tyler Boyd for some of that stuff, too.
Yeah, and you have Drew Sable. I mean, yeah. You have
Drew Sable. You're going to make that Drew Sable thing come true.
Yeah, I guess so. I think Uzama matters more on those third down plays and like the short yardage, quick outs. I just think I don't know. To me, that's a bigger deal for the Bengals than the Rams. We'll see if they either come back. Cam Akers' comeback from his Achilles tear for this postseason run. 1 to 10, Wilson.
I mean, I'll give it like a 7. It was impressive what he did when he first came back a few weeks ago. He had the fumbling issue against the Bucks. He's got to get that sorted out. But it feels like Sean McVay, if he can hold the ball, trusts him. And if that's the case, then they'll run the football. And then the question becomes, which Bengals defense shows up?
Yeah, I'll go seven because he tore his freaking Achilles 7 months ago and he is on the football field. That's a miracle. How is that even possible?
Yeah, I think just the fact that he returned from it is huge. And you know, that gives the Rams we don't know if Daryl Henderson's going to come back, but that gives the Rams a lot more options. You know, if it was just Sony Michel, I think having that diversity in the run game is big. Eric Weddle, speaking of comebacks, maybe getting a ring after being out of football for 2 years. 1 to 10.
That's like a 9.5. That's pretty amazing. Number one, he was dunking on middle-aged men like me playing basketball for the last 6 months. And then he rolls out and he's still in fantastic shape. Like sometimes, a lot of times the offensive linemen and defensive linemen lose a ton of weight. But sometimes like guys who were little to begin with just say, okay, I can just eat Doritos now and I don't have to worry about being in tip-top shape. He's in fantastic shape. He made some plays throughout the playoffs. And that's a big story.
Yeah, I think he led them in tackles in the NFC title game.
He also nearly gave the game to the Buccaneers with that.
Came right after the ball fell down and incomplete. Yeah, I'll give that a 9.
Yeah, I think a 9. It's
coming
at least
out of retirement and starting in the Super Bowl probably.
And not even like retired like this offseason and like, you know, came back for a little.
Right, the Rams lose their safeties and you could literally sign anyone who's been playing football the last 2 years. And Weddle, because he's so smart and in good shape, roll on in as some guy in his mid-30s and he's fine.
Yep. Bengals wearing black uniforms. 1 to 10, Breach.
I'll give it an 8 because uniforms, a 10?
Yeah, because of the what happened.
Yeah, the teams wearing white have won 14 of the past 17 Super Bowls.
And the Bengals could have chosen to wear white, right?
The Bengals could have chosen to wear white. They are the home team in Los Angeles for the people who don't know because the AFC team it alternates every year. The AFC team is the
home. Yeah, that's an underrated quirk that the Rams are the visiting team.
That is the part of it. In their own stadium.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I didn't really care what color the Bengals choose because, look, they lost in their black jerseys in the first Super Bowl. They lost in their white jerseys in their second Super Bowl. So there's no superstition there.
Why didn't they wear their orange jerseys then?
Because you have to get approval to wear your alternate jerseys. The NFL,
that's their alternate.
Yeah. NFL generally does not let you, although the Rams will be wearing their alternate jerseys.
Let me ask you this.
Their white jerseys, they're alternate. Their regular road jersey is their bone gray jersey.
So Zach Taylor calls up Roger Goodell and asks, and Roger says no, because you didn't go through the proper protocol.
What if they just weren't?
They just show up wearing the orange jerseys.
That would be hilarious.
Yeah. Now, what are you going to do? Not let the game start?
Yeah. And so you have.
Would you pay $1,000 fine in order to help pay to offset the cost of the NFL fine?
Like, would I write a check to the
Bengals? You personally pay $1,000 and they get the.
But they win the Super Bowl.
Oh, my God.
Do I know they win?
No, you're going into it. Like, they're going to wear their.
Nah, if I don't know, I'm not doing it.
Jeez. The Cincinnati Bengals, everybody, the notoriously cheapest franchise in
exactly.
Football.
Right, there's the spirit of Mike Brown. Right.
White sports writers hating on the halftime show, 1 to 10. This is a question from Debo. Right. Are white sports writers going to hate on Snoop Dogg and Dre?
Yeah, that is a Debo question.
That's you
should answer that question.
I am actually excited.
I guess the white sports writer should answer it.
Yeah.
But it's a 0. This is a terrible storyline. This halftime show is going to rock. I want a Tupac hologram out there with California Love blasting and Dre and Snoop going nuts. This is going to be an awesome halftime show. Finally, no Chris California. Collinsworth on the call. 1 to 10, Breach.
That's a 10. That is a fascinating thing because there is no way that the Chris Collinsworth ever thought the Bengals would be in this Super Bowl. Now you have, look, there are only 7 players in Bengals history who played in both Super Bowls. Collinsworth is one of them. You know, he's not going to go out there and be a homer, but you know he's cheering for the Bengals. He lives in Cincinnati. He follows this team. And not only that, Al Michaels' first announcing job was for the Cincinnati Reds in the 70s. So he got his start in Cincinnati.
Fun fact.
So both these guys have Cincinnati ties. Collinsworth calling this game, I think, is an underrated aspect of this game. Unless you are not a Bengals fan, then you're going to get upset at the Bengals.
Stop
player.
Talking. We're I trying mean, to end the what show. What are you doing? My God, that's it. That's the podcast. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. For Breach and Wilson, I'm Brenton. We'll see you guys tomorrow.
It's the UEFA Champions League on Paramount Plus. Europe's top club soccer tournament. Champions versus champions. The best teams facing off in the knockout rounds.
Magnificent!
And it all takes place
while you're filling out financial reports at work. In the middle of your day, in the middle of your week. So use that second screen. Call in sick. Do whatever you gotta do to tune in Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Nobody watches the UEFA Champions League like us. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount Plus.